Dennis touched on it a while ago a little bit. He got way on down further in the chapter than I intended to go. So I'll start with the 8th verse of Psalms 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Everybody agrees that God's been good. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and praise Him for His goodness. Hallelujah. I mean, He's pleading for people to praise God for His goodness. Thank you, Lord, for Your goodness. And for His wonderful works to the children of men. How many children of men have we got here tonight? Huh? How many children of men have we got tonight? Amen. Well, some don't know whether they're children of men or an animal, but anyway, I guarantee you we're all children of men. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, we are. We are the sons of Adam and daughters of Adam. Amen. And oh, that they would praise Him for His wonderful works. Raise your hands again, you children of men, and praise God for His wonderful works. What the Lord hath done. Praise God. For He satisfieth the longing. Just keep longing for it. He satisfies that. He fills those that hunger and thirst. Huh? Amen. Of course, you're just using religion for a crutch. You're not going to get anything. But if you're really longing for God, you can get something from God. Amen. He satisfieth a longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Ah, yes. Amen. Are you hungry? Hallelujah. You know why people are not hungry for God? They've already tanked up on something else. Amen. Ooh-wee. Like what? Yeah. Amen. Already filled up on junk food. Nothing left for God. Billy Graham said, I mean, you ought to be able to stomach that, you know, one of the most liberal preachers in the country. He said that we play out our emotions in front of the TV and at the movies and at the ball game, and when we get to church, we don't have anything left for God. Well, glory to God. Amen. That's right. Hey, amen. It's the hungry that get filled. Amen. Then he gets a little more negative here. He said, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And how many agree that's bad? Sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Being bound in affliction and iron. This is one of the places in the Bible that affliction means bodily sickness. Amen. Bodily affliction. And iron. Amen. Oh, the shadow of death. Oh, the afflictions that come from this darkness, this depression. Amen. And we wear it like iron bars. Amen. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Well, I'll talk for just a little bit, not long, on the fruits of rebellion. What is rebellion? Rebellion means to rise up against something. Huh? Rebellion means to turn against something. Rebellion means to go against. Amen. We need to turn rebellion into repentance. Come on. How do you reverse the horror of rebellion, the fruit of rebellion? They rebelled against what? The words of God. And contend, went against the counsel of the Most High. Spoke against it. Amen. Oh, they was looking at the preacher when they did it, but it's really the Word of God that they're against. Well, they say, preacher, it's not what you said, it's the way you said it. It don't make any difference whether you say it upside down. Or backwards, upside down, or backwards or crossways. If the truth's the truth, no matter what. Truth's the truth, no matter who says it. Amen. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Amen. I never cease to marvel at how people want the church to come to the rescue in the time of need, and they vacated the church all their life. They never gave one red dime to church, and all the time they came was to a funeral or a wedding or something else. And then they wonder where the church is when they get in that hard labor, when they get in trouble, when they fall down and there's none to help. Well, I'm glad to report that the church is here. I'm glad to report that the body of Christ is here. I'm glad to report, in spite of rebellion, in spite of the fact that they haven't had anything to do with God most of their life. And they don't believe in giving, and they don't want you to take an offering, and they don't pay tithes. Amen. But you ought to hear them squeal when they get in that hard labor and there's none to help. They want the church to come a-running. And I'm glad to report they will. To tell the truth about it, the church is just looking for an opportunity. Amen. An open door. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. They're just looking for a good, decent chance to help. Oh, they're not going to go off prematurely. And, amen. They're not going to get ahead of God because, you see, the church can't do for you what you can do for yourself. Amen. I don't know how many people have come and stood in the lobby waiting to talk to the pastor. Amen. So one of them talked to John, I think it was, back there, and said he was in need and he wanted to help. And he said, well, I'm a deacon. I'll talk to you. He said, well, said the pastor's usually got a little more compassion. He hit the wrong church. Amen. I'm meaner than any of them. Amen. You better talk to them deacons, praise God. Because when I get done asking you questions, amen, I'll offer to call mom and dad for them. And they say, well, I don't have any mom and dad. I'll offer to call their wife and their friends or their neighbors in the town where they came from. Amen. Fellow drove up in my yard and he said, we're 75 miles from home. And he said, we need some money to get home. I said, 75 miles? I said, I'll call home and they can help you. He said, Well, said, tell the truth about it. Said, it's my mother's home and she's gone. And said, we can't even get in. We don't have the key. Amen. Let me tell you something. I didn't buy that story. Amen. I told him if I was 75 miles from home, I'd get there. And he was in a van. I would park my van. It was summertime. I'd park my van in the driveway of Mom's house, even if the door's locked, and sleep in my van. But they didn't want to do that. Amen. And they left out. He didn't come himself. He sent his wife. Amen. Because they make a racket out of it. I help them. I've helped them. Anyone filled their tank up and bought them food and sent them down the road. And I said, here's my address. If you ever get do better, why, you can pay me back. I've never had one offer to pay me back. They didn't have the character. You know, if you got character, God will help you. And God's people are so loving and forgiving, amen, they'll let you take them. And they'll help you anyhow. Yeah. Amen. I mean, I'm easy to get took because I love. But I've been burned a few times, and so I ask a few questions. Amen. And we don't usually give money, but sometimes we even do that. Here's the way we present it to them. Oftentimes when they knock on the church door and they come before church, they want to talk to the pastor. I said, well, it's time for church to start. I said, you come, stay in church and worship God with us and pray with us, and the people of God will help you. Amen. We've only had one family that really did that. They came and sat back there up a little farther, and Brother Dave Myers is sitting back there. And amen. When it came time to come to the altar, they came to the altar and they prayed. They wasn't dressed for church. The sister wasn't dressed for church, but we don't have no sign on the door that you got to wear a dress to come to the highway of holiness. She came to the altar and we prayed with her. Amen. And we prayed with her a time or two in the altar. And we prayed with him. And amen. We took him up an offering. And gave them money. Because they took me up on it. They stayed for church. But did you know that most of them don't even have the character to stay in church? They'll leave before the commercial. They don't want to hear from the sponsor. Amen. They only hear from a good God that's able to help them. Praise God. Oh boy, came into my church, Middletown, Ohio, years ago. Virgil Parton. Never forget him. He came from Frakes, Kentucky. That old town was founded by a Methodist preacher down there in Kentucky trying to help poor people in the mountains. And he was able to build a whole city and named it Frakes, Kentucky. Virgil Parton, crippled sixth grade teacher. Amen. Taught school out east of Middletown. And he came into the service there, Middletown. Amen. Brought his guitar in. And he said that he was a singer and he wanted to sing. And so I'm wide open, you know, to help people. And he brought his guitar in. And amen. And I let him sing. He didn't just sing one song. He sung three. Amen. He had his own little convention. That wouldn't have been so bad, Rodney, but he couldn't sing. Amen. He sung three songs, and after he got done, he put his guitar in the case and politely walked out. Amen. And Paul Brooks, playing the guitar on the platform, said he didn't stay for the commercial. Amen. And he didn't. Well, after a while, he comes sauntering back in. Amen. And we preached and gave the altar call, and he came to the altar and he prayed about 2 minutes. And I said, Virgil, you need to pray. He said, I did. I said, I mean, you really need to pray, Virgil. You really need to get a hold of God. He said, Well, he said, I believe this. He said, if you pray too much, it's an insult to your own intelligence. Well, 2 minutes is not too much, as bad a shape as he was in. Amen. Well, he came back and I didn't let him sing, because I learned, you know, that there were several things wrong in his life, and he wasn't living right, but he was leaning on that doctrine, once in grace, always in grace, even though he wasn't leaning right. And Brother Howard Sears wouldn't let him sing down to Grace Baptist Church, and so he brought his guitar up to the Full Gospel Tabernacle. And I didn't let him sing that night. He walked up to me and said, I was offended when you didn't let me sing. Isn't that amazing? They don't think we ever get offended. They don't think their sins offend us. They don't think that their rebellion against God is offensive to us. They don't think that we can even see through their little thin curtain that they're trying to cover things up with. Amen. Well, I didn't let him sing. And Brother Esther was there visiting me that night. And we was back in the office. It was back off the platform talking. And he came in the office, Virgil Parton did. And he said, I was offended when you let me sing tonight. I said, Virgil, you got to get saved first. You can't help us. Oh, he'd already told me he's come back from the Smoky Mountains and he bought him some beer and drunk it. And he told me why he went outside. He had a cup of coffee out there and he went out and smoked a cigarette and drunk his coffee. And I said, Virgil, you can't edify us. You can't help us till you first help yourself. Amen. Well, he got mad then. He said, I'll tell you one thing. I'll never come back to this church as long as I live. What is that? That's rebellion. That's rising up against the Word of God. Amen. That's using the church and the wonderful service of God for an ego trip at the expense of the people of God. Amen. And so he said, I'll never be back. Half-page ad, a little later in the newspaper. I don't know how he swung it. Teacher becomes gospel singer. Amen. Half-page ad, Middletown Journal. Amen. I thought, boy, they all know what I know. Amen. He can't sing. There you go. And he told me the last time he was there, he said, I'm having an affair with another woman. He said, my wife knows it. And I got a date with her tonight. He said, my wife told me that if I kept that date, she'd leave me. This was about the same time he said, I got offended because you wouldn't let me sing. Amen. Ego trips at God's expense. At the expense of the church. Amen. Well, we tried to help Virgil. He walked away. He rebelled against our advice. All he'd had to done was just spend a little more time at the altar and prayed through real good. I mean, in 15 minutes, he could settle things with God. But he knelt down at the altar with his chin in his hands and said a little old 2-minute silent prayer and got up and he was ready to go again. Amen. Virgil might have still been living, but he was all twisted up. He was getting high on some kind of narcotic. Amen. He was drinking a little and still going to church and leaning on that doctrine. Once saved, always saved. Another editorial headline in the Middletown newspaper. Same newspaper, a few months later. School teacher commits suicide. Virgil's life was in such a mess. And he had got it that way. He rebelled against God. Amen. All he'd had to done was cry unto the Lord. And the Lord would have helped him. Listen to what this is. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. But instead, Virgil checked into that cheap motel up the road from your place in Blue Ball. Amen. He stuck a .32 caliber pistol to his chest. And they found him in a pool of blood in the bed in that hospital. Excuse me, in that motel. The fruits of rebellion. You think you can handle it? I'm here to tell you, you can't. You can't handle that darkness. You can't handle that depression. You can't handle that sin. There's just one thing to do with sin, and that's forsake it. There's just one thing to do with rebellion, and that's lay it down. Amen. There's just one thing to do. Rebellion is going the opposite direction. It's turn around. Out of their distresses. I mean, all this affliction. All this darkness. Listen to this. 14th verse. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. How wonderful it is to be free tonight. Free. Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. How do I get to Him? I need Him. Run to Him. Fall before Him. Call on Him. Quit rebelling. It would help to go back to church and be faithful to God. Amen. I mean, since Tom prayed up at the house a few weeks ago, he'd been to church just about every night to his church anywhere since. Praise God. He meant business. Hallelujah. He's a praising the Lord. He takes a walk in the Spirit once in a while. Praise God. Amen. I accused him of walking all the way back from Arizona. Amen. When he walked around the church that night. If you want God, you can find Him. You need to go back to church. When you quit church, that's rebellion. That's the very thing that can help you. That's the body of Christ on earth. If you want Jesus, you want the church. You don't want the church, you don't want Jesus, because that's the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Pardon the vernacular, but ain't God good? Hallelujah. Yeah, you can understand it. I know it's the way I say it sometimes, but hey, it's easy understood. I'm talking Kentucky and Arkansas language. Amen. I mean, you don't even have to have an interpreter for the most part. Amen. And unless you're like little Dara, she's learning some words. Amen. And the Ray family was fasting. All of them was fasting. Amen. And little Dara was trying to fast, even though she didn't know what the word meant. And she came up to her mom. She said, I'm so hungry. She said, could I just go slow? She thought fast meant go fast. And so she decided she'd just go slow. Amen. And go ahead and eat. So Sister Ray broke down and they had dinner that day. Praise God. Hey, amen. Hey, maybe some of us a little bit young. We don't understand everybody, everything that's going on in church. Amen. There's a lot of meanings to that word fast. Amen. You can be running real fast, doing without food and starving, or you can be stuck in the mud. Amen. So fast that you can't get out. Amen. One fellow said he wanted to be buried with his four wheels still drive because he'd never been in a hole too deep. But what it got out, got him out. Amen. I'll tell you, everyone, amen, that four-wheel drive can't get you out. Praise God. There's one that you're going to have help from the Lord. Praise God. But there's 100 hands reaching for you tonight, and God's reaching through them. Amen. And they're trying their best to get a hold of you. And all that's wrong is you won't reach up. Let's stand and let's pray. Let's reach up and take hold of God. Hallelujah, Father God in heaven. Touch these lives, O Lord. Touch these souls, O Lord. Touch these bodies, O Lord. Touch these saints, O Lord, as they rise up to minister in this hour of darkness. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is reaching. He's passing by. Be like that blind man at Jericho. Cry out to him and don't quit. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He said, be quiet. You're disturbing the peace. Don't bother the master. He cried the more, the Bible said. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped dead in his tracks. And he turned in the direction of that voice. And he said, what would you have me to do for you? And here comes that blind man, casting his ragged blind man beggar's garment off, because he'd never need it again. Amen. He said that I might receive my sight. And you know what? He went away that day seeing. Your darkness is temporary when you start praying. Your depression is temporary when you call on the name of the Lord. Amen. If you didn't get deliverance the first time, really get down to business. Amen. One time when I needed an answer from God, I walked halfway to Old Big Creek School down the old school path. And right in the middle, halfway between our house and Big Creek School, going through the woods, was an old field. And I got right out in the middle of that old field under a tree. And I got down on the grass and I called on God to the top of my voice. Amen. You say, God ain't deep. No, but sometimes we need to get desperate enough to call on Him with our whole heart. I called on God with my face down in the grass, crying out to God. Amen. I didn't care who heard me. I didn't care what heard me. I was in the middle of the woods anyway. Amen. And I had a little bit of forestation, trees and such, between me and the house to soften my screaming out to God. And you know what? When I got up from that place in the middle of the field where I just prayed through the top of my voice, I had the answer. I got up with the answer. You know what? We're ashamed to pray. We're ashamed for folks to see us call on God. We're ashamed for people to hear us pray. One good brother been in church all his life. He said, I get alone and try to pray. And he said, I'm embarrassed by my own voice. I'm intimidated by my own voice. I mean, just pray so loud you drown yourself out. If you have to. And get a hold of God. Sherman Brock was 80 years old when he got saved. Prayed through his at the house. And he spent the last one whole year praying 24 hours a day. Every hour he was awake. Amen. Fred and Mina used to sit back there. They're going back to Sharks Road now. Amen. But Fred wasn't saved then. And he said, I don't think there's any use in all that loud praying. You know what? It didn't make his 81-year-old dad one bit of difference. He just kept praying anyway. Hallelujah. I preached his funeral. Amen. God never let nobody go to hell calling on the name of the Lord. Hey, call on Him. It works. Praise God. Call on Him. I guarantee it. Amen. You seek Him with your whole heart, He'll take two steps for you, every one. And after a while, He'll get in a hurry and break into a run. And you'll fall into God's big arms. As they sang, we invite you to an altar of prayer. Total surrender, complete commitment to the living God. God can help you if you want Him bad enough.
There's a line by men unseen that crosses every path.
Hallelujah. Call on Him.
And it marks.
Seek Him.
The boundary.
Come on, boys. Don't be ashamed
between.
To cry out to God. Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. 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 Act like a house is afire. Hallelujah. And you're trying to get your children out. And you're crying to the top of your voice. Calling their name. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Call on Him tonight.